Well, this is Thanksgiving week, and we have a lot to be thankful for, amen? And as I was thinking about what to preach tonight, the Lord was just reminding me of that holiday that's coming this week. And of course, with all of the things that are going on, there is a tendency for us to gripe and complain right now. And I think it's important that we focus tonight and even this week on a very, very key principle that we see in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, where the Bible says this: in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is an amazing verse. It says that God's will for us is that we would be what? Thankful. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a home where my mom was consumed with teaching me manners. And one of the things we learned very quickly is you don't leave the table ever after mom's meals. You don't ever leave the table without saying those two precious words. And we were not in trouble with mom if we didn't say thank you. We were in trouble with dad. After all, dad does live with mom. You know what I'm saying? And so dad knew all the work that was going on to put the food on the table. And we learned very quickly that whether it tasted good or whether it didn't taste so good, most of the time it did, we were supposed to tell mom, thank you. Because our father wanted us to be thankful to our mother for the food that she put on the table. Well, folks, tonight I want to tell you that we have a heavenly father who wants us to be thankful. Sometimes it tastes good and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes there are trials that we wonder what God's doing, and other times there's great blessings. And in this text it says, in everything give thanks. And here's why we can say everything is worthy of thanks. Because everything we have in life is better than what we deserve. Everything in life is better than what we deserve. You know, it's really not a smart policy to ever kind of look at God and say, God, give me what I deserve. That's not a smart thing to say. The wages of sin is what? Death. All of us deserve the same thing. And here's the reality. If we get anything other than dying and going to hell, it is a part of God's grace. And this is why we can rightfully have a verse like this and say that it's strong, say strongly and dogmatically that really in everything, through everything, we should be thankful. There are very few texts in the Bible where the Bible actually says this is God's will. This is one of them. So what we can say tonight is we are not, are you listening? We are not in God's will if we have an attitude of bitterness. If we have a grumbling, griping spirit, we are not in God's will. It is God's will that we would be thankful. And I know that this is Thanksgiving season, but the truth is we should be this way all the time. We should be thankful all the time. Interesting to note that the word thanks is also translated grace. As a matter of fact, it's the Greek word charis. So when God gives us charis, it's translated grace. Verses like Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. There's the Greek word charis. When it's from God to us, it is grace. Unmerited favor, or just generally God's loving favor towards us. When it's our charis given back to God, it is translated thanks or thanksgiving. It's interesting, isn't it? Because really, thanksgiving is our response to God's grace. That's what thanksgiving is. You know what that means? That means we got to acknowledge tonight that God has been gracious to us. Can I ask you, are you acknowledging tonight that God has been gracious to you? That's what thanksgiving is. It's recognizing that you have so many things that God has given you that you don't deserve. And because of God's grace, we can say in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So tonight we're going to do a little bit of a theology of thanksgiving. I hope you're okay with that. We're going to walk through several passages of scripture. And as we approach this week of thanksgiving, I think it's important that we have this at the heart of who we are. And that even with all of the calamity and all the crisis that are going on in our society, and the tendency for us to watch the news and just kind of get upset and get angry even, and maybe wonder what God is doing, that it's really important that we have an attitude of gratitude. You know, Christians should be the most thankful people in the world because we know God's grace. We know what we have received. We know that we don't deserve it. And so we want to answer a few questions tonight about what it means to be thankful. Turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but maybe this is exactly what you need. Maybe you weren't expecting a Thanksgiving message, or maybe you thought a Thanksgiving message would come this week. You may get another one later this week. I know that you're having a service later on, a Thanksgiving service this week. But I think that this is one of those commands in the scripture that is often repeated, and yet it is often overlooked. We talk a lot about the sins of the flesh. In the same book of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. We know that God's will is that we should be pure and holy and do his will with our bodies. But my friends, tonight, it is also God's will to do right in our spirit. Sins of the spirit are equally wrong. They may not have all of the ramifications. They may not have all of the same consequences. But sins of the spirit are just as wrong. And so it's important that we're in the center of God's will tonight. That we're not grumbling and griping and bitter and angry Christians. So what we want to do is we want to answer a few questions about this. First of all, we need to answer this question. Question number one, why should we be thankful? Why should we be thankful? The answer is given here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Maybe your answer could come quickly by just saying, well, it's commanded, and so if it's commanded, we should obey it. But I want to show you that there is actually a stronger motivation to be thankful than just the fact that we have a command. Okay, well, I'll obey the command. There is a strong motivation as to why we should be thankful. Look at the answer here in verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Notice the first two words, by him. In this particular text, it is clear that those words refer to who? Jesus Christ. So what we could say is this, because of Jesus Christ, we should be offering a sacrifice continually to God through all things, like we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. And he says, this sacrifice that we give is what? The fruit of our lips giving thanks. Now the Bible talks a lot about sacrifice. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we can sacrifice with our bodies. We can sacrifice with our lives. But hold on. We can also sacrifice with our lips. Do you realize, folks, that when you go through a trial and a tragedy, and it's tough for you to handle, and yet you still have praise on your lips, you are sacrificing for God. You are giving an offering to God, a sacrifice to God with your lips, and it's continually giving thanks to his name. So why should I be thankful? Well, because of Jesus. Or maybe I could say it this way. Why should I be thankful? The fellowship with my Savior demands it. The fellowship with my Savior demands it. Now, what's interesting to note is that in the New Testament, if you do a study on the word thanks, you'll find that there are some specific details about salvation that Christ has done for us that we ought to be thankful for. I just want to reference a couple of these. Romans 6, verse 14, where the Bible says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. What are we thanking God for? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. But you've obeyed from a heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Having been made freed from sin, you are servants of righteousness, is what the scripture says in Romans chapter 6. So what are we supposed to be thanking God for? Well, he has redeemed us. Hey, when was the last time you reflected upon the fact that you are redeemed? This is why we sing songs like, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful song that is. But that should be the testimony of praise from our hearts, that we have been taken out of the bondage of sin and into the family of God, not because we deserve it, but because of God's grace. Don't ask for what you deserve. God has given you so much better than what you deserve. And because of that, you can be thankful, specifically because of Jesus, because of your salvation. What about this verse? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. You know that one? It has the word thanks in it. But thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the resurrection chapter. Specifically, he's not talking about victory over sin, though we do have victory over sin. In the resurrection chapter, he's talking about victory over death. Do you realize tonight, if you are a true believer, you do not have to fear death? What a privilege, what a blessing that as a Christian, when we die, it's triumph, it's victory, it's heaven, it's with Jesus forever. And so we're thankful for our salvation. We don't deserve that, but we will be raised because Jesus has conquered death. So we're thankful specifically that we're redeemed. We're thankful specifically that we will be raised because of Jesus Christ. Let me give you one more reference. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What are we thanking him for? Notice, giving thanks to the Father. Do you realize if you are a child of God, you are a partaker of Christ's inheritance? And Bible teachers debate on what all that includes, but they all agree on this. It includes heaven. It includes heaven. Praise God, this world's not my home. We're just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we really belong. But my friends tonight, there's only one reason why we will walk the streets of gold. There's only one reason why we will see our Savior first of all. There's only one reason we'll go to heaven. God's grace. God has been gracious to us. Here's the simple point I'm trying to show you. If he's good enough to save us, then he's good enough to keep us. If he's good enough to save us, then he's never going to make a mistake in any area of our life. Don't you see tonight that what I'm talking about is not a self-help message where we just go out and we put a smile on our face and say, I'm going to be thankful. We're not talking about just changing our attitude. We're talking about Christians who have a deep understanding of what Jesus has done for them. And because of their reflection and their remembrance on the gospel, they have joy. They have thanks. And they're obedient to the command of 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks. Why should I be willing to obey that command? Because look at what Jesus has done. Truly we can say tonight, and we could even sing tonight, thank you Lord for saving my soul. Thank you Lord for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Maybe the reason why we're struggling with bitterness and anger and grumbling and griping is because we really haven't plumbed the depths of salvation. Maybe it's because our belief in Jesus Christ is kind of shallow and weak and anemic. And if we would deepen our faith and we would understand the gospel a little bit more, it would help us to get through those times where we don't understand. It would help us to have the right kind of attitude and to be thankful even in difficulties and thankful even for those personality conflicts and relationship struggles and for lack of, maybe even the lack of things that we think we need or deserve. Don't you realize that it is really the power of the gospel that motivates a thankful spirit? So why should I be thankful? I should be thankful because the fellowship with my Savior demands it. Can I ask you tonight, when was the last time you just spent some quality time giving God glory and praise for the miracle that he has wrought in your life? I know that many of you, like me, got saved when you were young. Maybe you got saved as a kid in a church just like this one. And maybe you've just gotten comfortable in being a Christian. And we should never get comfortable. We should never stop reflecting upon what Jesus Christ has done. That's the motivation for an attitude of gratitude. I'm thankful because of my salvation. Now, quickly turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're letting our fingers do the walking and we're taking a little look at a theology of thanksgiving. And Ephesians chapter 5 really helps to answer a second question that we need to answer tonight. Number one, why? Why should I be thankful? Not just Thanksgiving week, but especially during Thanksgiving week, but all the time, why should I be thankful? The fellowship with my Savior demands it. The second question we want to answer is one that probably is coming to your mind right now, because maybe there's somebody right now out in the auditorium. Maybe you're listening to this message and you're thinking, well, that preacher doesn't know what I'm facing. There is no way in my life I can be thankful for this. or for that. And maybe the question is coming into your mind, how in the world is this possible? The second question is how. How can I be thankful? And I want to answer your question, if you're thinking that, I want to answer that question by asking you a question. Does God ever command us to do something without enabling us to do it? I hope you know the answer to that. Does God ever command us to do something without enabling us to accomplish it? So, for example, does he come to me as a husband and say, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Could I make an excuse and say, but God, you don't understand who I married? Now, I wouldn't say that, okay, but would somebody excuse themselves by saying that? No. Hey, sir, this is good for you and for me. Whatever God calls me to do, he enables me to do. Wives, submit yourself to your husband as to the Lord. But you don't understand, God. My husband's not a spiritual leader. So I can't do that. God, I cannot possibly do that. Listen, ladies, whatever God commands you to do or calls you to do, he enables you to accomplish. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command with promise. But Lord, my parents aren't even doing right. Maybe they're not even saved. I've heard that before from teenagers. I don't have to obey them because they're not obeying God. Listen, whatever God calls you to do as a young person or a teenager, then God enables you to accomplish. Now, there's a reason why I quoted the family commands. A couple reasons. First of all, those are commands that are in this passage of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Secondly, those are commands that a lot of people are breaking. Those are commands that a lot of people make excuses about. And I will just tell you tonight that this church will only be as strong as the families that are represented here. This is a church made up of individual families, and strong families make a strong church. And I will tell you, every person in the family needs to obey the role that God has given to them. Every person needs to obey those commands. But there's only one way to obey those commands, and frankly, there's only one way to obey any command. So how is this possible that God would command me to be thankful? How does he enable me? Well, Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. I think this is the key verse in this text, not only for our thanksgiving, but all of those family issues as well. There has to be a filling of the Spirit, a controlling of the Spirit. Now, what we know is the Bible teaches that when we get saved, we are indwelt by the Spirit. But as we grow as a Christian, we are to be continually being controlled or filled by the Spirit. The indwelling happens once. The filling is continual. And even in this text, this is a present active imperative. It's a command that is continually being obeyed. And so the question tonight is, are you continually being controlled by the Holy Spirit? Now, he does mention in verse 18 that we're not to be controlled by alcohol. I think the scripture teaches an abstinence from alcohol, but this particular text is teaching us not just about alcohol, but it's teaching us about anything that could be controlling us. And here's the simple point. Nothing, are you listening? Nothing should control a Christian other than the Holy Spirit. Listen, you may not be controlled by alcohol, but there are maybe some in this room, and basically you're controlled by your feelings. Your emotions are dominating your life. There are people in this room, and the fact is you are intoxicated by what people think of you. You're controlled by the fear of men. And the point is, nothing should control us other than who? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit controls us. And when he does, and when we are filled with the Spirit, notice what happens. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice verse 20, giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There are three participle phrases, verse 19, verse 20, and verse 21. All of them are clearly linked to the command of verse 18. And basically what this text is teaching us is that nobody can be thankful in everything unless they are walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. You know, it's kind of like when my dad used to take me to school many years ago. My dad was a big time, and is still a big time coffee drinker. Now, I know that everybody's drinking coffee today. Children are drinking coffee. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But back when I was a kid, it was like an adult thing to do, to drink coffee and to drive to work with a cup of coffee in their hand. My dad always, when he would take me to school, he always had a cup of coffee, but he didn't have one of those fancy coffee travel mugs with a lid on it. He just had shock absorbers in his arm. So he could go over all the bumps in the road. He could swerve a little bit, and very rarely would my dad ever spill. But here's a simple point. When my dad would spill, what would come out? You guys are brilliant. You're awake tonight, okay? Here's the simple point I want to make with that illustration. Whatever's filling the cup is what spills out. Have you ever had a bump in the road? Have you ever had a curve? Have you ever had a situation thrown your way that you were not expecting? Whatever comes out is what's already in there. Whatever comes out is what is already filling you. And I've been with people, and it didn't matter what they were facing. There was still a song of praise. There was a tear. There was a grief, but there was a song of praise in their heart. And that's because they're filled with the Spirit. And then there's other people that it seems like nothing can go their way. They're always griping. There's always a problem with someone else, and they're blaming someone else, and they're playing the victim card, and they're complaining and griping because nothing's going their way. Whatever is filling you is what's coming out, and the only possible way to be obedient and be a thankful person is to walk in the Spirit. And so that begs the question, doesn't it? How do we walk in the Spirit? Where? Well, there is a parallel passage found in Colossians 3, verse 16, where the Apostle Paul says it differently, but he's saying the same thing. It's a parallel passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks. Same exact fruits, but he says it differently. In Ephesians 5, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Colossians 3, he says, dwell in the word of God. Do you realize, folks, that if you are dwelling in the Word of God, you will realize that actually trials are not bad things? Did you hear what I said? If you are actually dwelling in the Word of God, you realize that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You have a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Job that shows you that God's doing something behind the scenes. He's revealing more of himself, and you get more of God, then it's worth it going through the trials. You have an entire story like Job in the Old Testament, incredible references all throughout the Bible that show us that actually what the world says is a bad thing, God says is a good thing. For when I'm tried and purified, I shall come forth as what? Gold. Don't you see that the more you dwell in the Word of God, the more you'll actually thank God for the difficulties, you'll realize that He's making you into the image of Christ. But you have to dwell in the Word of God. And here's the problem. A lot of people treat the Bible like a visitation, not a habitation. Let me say that again. Many people treat the Bible like a visitation, not a habitation. And here's what typically happens. A trial comes into our life, and all of a sudden, we need a verse. You know what? I'm not trying to be unkind. This is the truth. We ought to already know the verse. We don't run to a verse and have to find it. We ought to already know who our God is. We ought to already know the text of Scripture so well that when the trial comes, we're immediately responding biblically because we're dwelling in the Word of God and we're not complaining, but we're actually realizing that God's doing something great. How is it possible to be thankful for some of the things that maybe you're facing tonight? Well, you got to know the Word of God, and you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to dwell in the Word of God. Let the Spirit of God fill you up so that you will have these kinds of responses coming out of your life. In everything, give thanks. All right, so if we're going to obey the command, we have to walk in the Spirit so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is such an incredible text of Scripture. The Holy Spirit is the key person, the person of the Godhead that enables us to be obedient to any command that the Bible gives us, including the command to be thankful. All right, we need to move to our third question. Number one, why? Why should I be thankful? The fellowship with my Savior demands it. Number two, how? I must be filled with the Spirit, which is dwelling in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Number three, let's answer this question. What are we supposed to be thankful for? Well, that's easy. Everything, right? But let's get very specific. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And what I want you to see is that the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament, was an incredibly grateful person. Did you know that? I like this because I think that this is the way preachers ought to be. There ought to be a sincere joy and a sincere thanksgiving. And I will tell you, because I grew up in a pastor's home, it's not always easy to be in the ministry, but we ought to be so reflecting as pastors, we ought to be so reflecting on the goodness of God and the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ that even the difficult people and the problems and those things should not cause us to get bitter and angry in the ministry. So it's really important that we're like the Apostle Paul. I love this because everywhere he went, he said, thank you. That's the kind of spirit I want to have. I want it to be genuine, to realize, wow, I don't deserve the privilege of preaching. I don't deserve the privilege of ministering in different places. And even ministering where I get to minister at the university, this is a privilege. It's an honor. It's God's grace. And there should be joy, and there should be a smile, and there should be a thanksgiving. And what's interesting is that Paul was thankful specifically for the faithful saints, faithful people around him. What should I be thankful for? People. People. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. He was thankful for the Roman believers. He wrote it down. This is not a thank you note. It's his epistle, but inside the epistle, he writes a specific word of thanksgiving. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Quickly turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If there's anybody he could have complained about, it would have been this church, right? They were carnal. They were dividing. There was immorality in the church. There was division. There was a lot of problems. I want to be clear when I say this. I'm not saying that we just love everybody and thank everybody and we never deal with problems. But when we do deal with problems, we better have a good attitude. Instead of getting angry and bitter, Galatians chapter 6 tells us, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. And so there should be an understanding of God's grace in our life. We should be humbled as we approach other people. I'm not saying we just sweep everything under the rug and we don't deal with problems. I'm just saying even when we deal with problems in confrontation, we do it with a right spirit, with a right attitude. And that's what Paul does here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. All right, let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This is probably one of the greatest testimonies of thanksgiving in the New Testament, specifically for a group of people who, according to Paul, were the only church, the only people that ministered to him in an actual financial giving way. That's what we read. Paul was a tent maker. He was not expecting offerings, but the church of Philippi, even though Paul was saying, you don't need to do this, they were so appreciative of Paul that they actually sent gifts to him. And we read about that in the book of Philippians. So he had a very special relationship. These people loved Paul and he loved them. And I think you see that in this, the kind of language that he uses here and the kind of spirit he has towards these people. Philippians 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Is there anybody in your life that you would say this about? Can you think of somebody who's invested in you, somebody who has influenced you, somebody who is ministering to you that right now you think, you know what? I don't have any bad memories. That person, whenever they come to my mind, it's just like, wow, they were just a great help in my life. Can you think of somebody like that? All right, here's my question. Have you told them thank you? Have you shared your appreciation with that person? Maybe it's even somebody sitting around you. Maybe it's somebody that's ministering here at this church. Maybe it's a faithful family member or friend. Or maybe you need to go home and send an email or a text. There is no shortage of communication, right? But all of us appreciate it when somebody says a kind word of, hey, thank you so much for what you're doing. I really appreciate your investment in my life. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Now, I don't know if you struggle with this, but I do. I'm sure you do, okay? And that is being critical of other people. Nobody struggles with that one, right? Have you noticed that actually a lot of times the first things we think about everybody are all the negative things instead of realizing that we are really blessed to be around these people? Hey, right here in this church, there are so many faithful servants of God. When was the last time you told them thank you? You know what? Being a pastor or being a minister here or being a Sunday school teacher or working in the nursery, that's a thankless job. Guys running the soundboard, the musicians, the ushers, the deacons, we could go on and on. People that are cleaning, people that are taking care of the landscape outside, people that are serving behind the scenes. When was the last time you found somebody and said, hey, I know that nobody really notices a lot of what you do, but I just want you to know I appreciate so much your faithful service here at this church. Find somebody even tonight. Put a smile on your face. Say a kind word, because the Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And what a blessing it is to have faithful people all around us. Can I encourage you to be thankful for the people that are here, the people that are ministering in your life? Turn back to Romans chapter 1 and let's finish with this final question. What should I be thankful for? The faithful saints that God has placed around me. And the obvious question as we conclude tonight is this: why are we not thankful? Why are we not thankful? Why is this so hard? And I know this is probably not a revelation to you, but we're proud, selfish, sinful people. I hope that is not new truth to you. But realizing that in Romans chapter 1, there's a classic passage that's talking about what? People who worship the creature more than the creator. These people are literally humanists. They are worshiping themselves. And we know that we go to this passage and we say, yeah, look at American society, American culture, American philosophies are found here in Romans chapter 1. But you know what? Sometimes we act like a humanist. Sometimes we respond like a humanist. And notice what it says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Neither were thankful. Do you realize that when we are unthankful, it is an assault upon God's sovereignty in our lives? It is acting like we're in charge when really we're not. I give you this little hint tonight. God is still in charge. You are not. So when we shake our fists at God and we say, God, you are messing up my life, or we're bitter and we're angry and we're complaining, we are attacking the sovereignty of God. We are, in essence, lifting ourselves up and putting ourselves on the throne, and we're worshiping the creature more than the creator. One of the characteristics of a humanist is being unthankful. Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks will naturally grow. A proud man is seldom a thankful man, because he always thinks he deserves better than what he has. So what I'm saying tonight is the reason why we're not thankful, and maybe even tonight there's a root of bitterness or anger or complaining, a complaining spirit. The reason we are not thankful is because we are sinful and selfish, proud people. And folks, what I'm saying tonight is we ought to confess, we ought to forsake, we ought to get back to where we ought to be in this response to God's grace. If you're a complaining, griping person and there's something happening in your life that you're struggling with, then you need to give it over to God. You need to cast all your burden on him. You need to ask him to change your spirit, change your attitude. And I think especially in Thanksgiving week, we should do what the songwriter said. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. And yet, this is not something just for Thanksgiving. Folks, I believe one of the things that sets us apart as believers from an unsaved, ungodly world, it's the way we respond when things don't go our way. When the world responds, they get angry, they get bitter, they blame other people. They expect something in return. They take vengeance. When Christians respond, they realize that God's in charge and God has a plan, and we can give him praise and glory even through the difficulties. You see the distinction? How are you responding at work? How are you responding to the trials? How are you responding to the difficulties that you're facing in your life? There should be a distinct difference, because in everything give thanks. Because of who our Savior is, because we are walking in the Spirit and we recognize the gifts of God's blessings around us, and we don't want to live in sin, we should be thankful people. I encourage you this week that these texts, these scripture passages, would be very clear in our hearts as we approach Thanksgiving this week. And that you would just really enjoy giving praise and giving glory to God for all the good gifts. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Why should I be thankful? The fellowship with my Savior demands it. How can I be thankful? Be filled with the Spirit. What should I be thankful for? Faithful Christians, faithful people who have invested in my life. Why am I not thankful? Because I'm a selfish sinner. What do you need to do tonight? Do you need to confess and ask God to change you? Maybe your attitude needs an adjustment. And tonight, God wants to do that. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I pray tonight that you would just do a work in all of our hearts. I'm sure there are people in this room that are facing incredible difficulties. Lord, there are people in this room that have trials, and maybe there's a disease. Maybe somebody's about to die. Maybe even somebody is suffering with the COVID disease. It's somebody in their family, and they can't understand it. Maybe there's a division in a relationship or a family problem or financial struggle. And Lord, there is such a tendency for us to be focused on the things that are temporal, not the things that are eternal. And yet your word is very clear. In everything, give thanks. For this is your will. Lord, would you help us to be in the center of your will tonight? Help us to respond with thanksgiving to everything that you are allowing and bringing into our lives. And help us to do so with the right motivation. If you're good enough to save us, you're good enough to keep us. Please change us tonight. Adjust our attitude and help us even this week to just enjoy the Thanksgiving season, but realize that this is the way we ought to be all year around. Thankful people, because we have a good and gracious God. Would you please do your work in our hearts tonight? Help us to make decisions that will change our spirit and change our attitude. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?